The 4Ps Radio Training School is sponsored by the Isle of Wight Foundation, helping to tackle social inclusion through their annual giving programme. Find out more on the Island Roads website.
We've got the gang here from St George's School. We've got Chef Courtney.
Hello.
And we've also got Timmy, who goes on his travels every now and again. And we've just been joined by Ian Charles Dickens, who just happens to be the great grandson. My mum was thrilled when I told her I was you'll have to tell me. She don't ever listen to me any other time. You'll have to tell me when he's on next time. She only wants to listen to you. It's not about me.
Is she listening today?
She knows it's on, so I'm hoping she is. So
maybe, excellent. Good morning.
Say hello to Patricia.
Patricia, how are you doing? Your son is very talented and good-looking too.
Oh, that's great, that is.
Radio covers a multitude of sins.
I'll get extra pocket money this week. look, I've got loads of questions, but I've got to first of all ask you how you are. How is your Christmas?
No, very good. Thank you very much. It was lovely to hear Christmas Carol being played out on Vectis Radio on Christmas Eve and again on Christmas Day. Hope the listeners enjoyed that. It was an abridged version. We squeezed it into about 22 minutes, I think.
It was, yeah.
If you read it cover to cover, it'd probably take about an hour and a half, but it gave a good flavour of the tale.
We had a couple of emails and we were talking, because you made the point of saying that when you go back over the stories and what he wrote and so on, but you wouldn't have any of his voice. You wouldn't have had there was nothing saved.
No, that's frustrating. Photography had just started, so we know what he looks like, and you know, photography into the 1850s and 1860s was moving on quite quickly, developing in fact. But sound was just a little bit after, which is so frustrating not to know what he sounded like.
But you know what? When I was listening to you read the story, I thought it was him because it sounded like what I thought he would sound like.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And that's the power of beautifully written words, I guess, that they have a sort of harmony and they flow and they've got a structure. And if you read them, then that flow automatically comes out. But there's an interesting story. My dad used to spend Boxing Day with all the family at his grandfather's house in Chelsea. And every Christmas, the grandfather would read a Christmas carol to the family. There might be 40 family there. And he'd cry when Tiny Tim dies, and he really got into reading it. And there's my dad, age 5, sitting under a table listening to it all. So when my dad was an adult and would read a Christmas carol to us kids at Christmas, he was basing his reading on the reading of his grandfather. And that grandfather had based the reading on his father, who was Charles Dickens. So you can almost touch it, but it's just out of reach.
That's just incredible. Mm. It really is. It just seems so surreal that you're sat here and we're talking about this. It really does. Now, I've got some questions, and Courtney and Timmy have got some questions. So what's your first one there, Courtney?
When did Oliver Twist first get published?
Okay, very good. So Dickens, he didn't write a full book. He wrote in installments. It's a bit like EastEnders or Coronation Street. You'd buy a magazine and you'd read a couple of chapters and you think this story is great, so you couldn't wait to buy the next magazine to see what happened next. So he always wrote in installments, aside from his short stories like Christmas Carol, which he wrote in one go. So his first book was Pickwick Papers, which he was writing in 1836-1837, and it was published, became a publishing phenomenon. He immediately started working on Oliver Twist, so that would be 1837, 1838. And while he was writing The Adventures of Oliver Twist, he was also starting Nicholas Nickleby. So he had, at one point, three books on the go at different stages with different characters and different plot lines. And then at the end of all the serialized form, then it would be published as a finished book. So Oliver probably came out as a finished book, I would guess, 1839, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've got one. I think I'm asking this on behalf of the lady out there, Jenny, isn't it? It's Jenny.
Yeah.
Did she get us a cheese toasty or not?
No.
I don't think she did. No. CDDC. Is there a connection?
Yeah. But in DC, as in David Copperfield.
Yes.
Yes, yeah, so when Dickens was on the Isle of Wight, he actually came here twice, once in 1838 and once again in 1849. He was here for 3 months with his family. And while he was here, he was writing this new book called David Copperfield. And if you were to ask him what was his favourite book out of all the books he'd written, he would say David Copperfield. It was his favourite son, he said. Because David Copperfield, what happened to David Copperfield is exactly what happened to Charles Dickens as a young man. So David Copperfield has a friend called Mr. Micawber. Mr. Micawber's always running out of money and being chased by debtors. Exactly the same happened to Charles Dickens's father. David Copperfield goes and works in a horrible factory. Charles Dickens had to go and work in a horrible factory in the blacking factory, making shoe polish and sticking labels onto bottles of shoe polish. So whatever happened to David Copperfield, it's happened to Charles Dickens. So it's a hugely autobiographical book. And there is a clue in the title that DC, David Copperfield, turn it round the other way, CD, Charles Dickens. So absolutely, yes, there is.
Wow. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. And then we're going to come back and we're going to chat some more. And Timmy's got a question as well. And we've got a load more coming your way. I'm just now thinking of all the adaptations of, you know, and the programmes that they've made out of David Copperfield. And I remember seeing one when I was a kid. It would have been on a Sunday afternoon or a Sunday tea time.
Yeah.
And there was some darker versions as well, as there probably were of many of the books themselves. And how many books did he write?
Well, that's a good question. So 15 full novels, but he wrote an awful lot of short stories. So there isn't a definitive number. It depends how you calculate it, but 15 full novels, the last one of which he never finished because he was midway through writing it when he died, and that's called The Mystery of Edwin Drood. And it's a mystery whodunit. And we don't know...
Oh, wow.
Who did it?
Can't you finish it, then?
Well, several people have tried, but, you know, nobody knows. And you never know how Dickens's mind was working, because he was writing in instalments. You know, he might be halfway through and think, actually, this character's popular with my audience, so I'm going to keep him a bit longer. I'll add a twist here. Or, like in Great Expectations, we meet the main protagonist on the first page. We meet in the graveyard, but we don't realise it's the main protagonist until we're three quarters through the book. So maybe it's staring us in the face, but we don't know how his mind was working.
Have you ever thought about finishing that?
Lots of academics have, way more qualified than me.
Your family.
But here's the funny thing. His biggest fan was Queen Victoria. She loved all of his work. She first read him as a teenager, and she read all his works through her life. And he acted as well. She came to see him perform. And they eventually met 3 months before he died at Buckingham Palace. And she gave him a gift, which he wasn't expecting. So on the spur of the moment, he thought, what can I give you back? And he said, I'm writing this book called The Mystery of Edwin Drood. Would you like me to tell you the twist at the end? And the Queen said, no, thank you. I'd like to read it like everybody else.
Oh,
so
wow.
She could have known, because he died 3 months later.
Oh, wow, what a mystery.
Well, it adds to the mystery, doesn't it? Wow. It really is the mystery of Edwin Drood.
They've more or less made everything else into a film or a TV programme, a serial. But did they ever touch that one? Did they ever do that?
No, they haven't. And it's frustrating that they do the same. So you get a lot of Olivers, you get a lot of Great Expectations, a little bit of Nicholas Nickleby, but Tale of Two Cities. There was a movie in the 50s or 60s, I think, Dirk Bogart, which is classic. But there's Dombey and Son. You know, there's some great stories that haven't been touched. Mm. They go back to the same old favourites. And there was one on, I think it was last year or maybe the year before, another version of Great Expectations with Olivia Colman. And it was very dark and some odd twists. And it was kind of, why do it? Because the book works on its own. It doesn't need to be twisted, other than we've seen so many other versions, so let's give this a different take. But do something different rather than do the same thing.
No, totally agree. We'll take a break, come back, and we'll chat some more.